Service this morning as we gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our King. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today. We are delighted that you chose to join us in worshiping our King today. Please receive this call to worship. We gather together this morning to give thanks and to rejoice. Yes, the light has come, and we now carry that light within us. We, like the wise men, seek God until we find Him. May we offer our gifts to Almighty God in humble worship and adoration this morning. And we ask, God, that you fill us with your presence and with your joy as we worship you, our Savior, today. So please join the worship team in worshiping our God in song this morning.
We started with Joy to the World, and we see the effects of sin all around in almost every corner of our life, but the one phrase in here says, He comes to make His blessings flow. That far as the curse is found, come to make His blessings flow, so we can sing joy to the world this morning. And we're going to be lifting the offering during this first song. And also there's, take the coins from the children for the coin, my coin count.
Let's take a moment and join in prayer for the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, if we continue our worship here, we continue in song, we lift up this offering to you. May you bless it to do the work that you needed to do, as this is for the church that can just bless the church and the needs that it has here, and that it can provide for this building and also for all the work that is done within the building. While we know this is just a building and not your actual church, provides a place for the members of your church to meet together and to worship as we do. And I'm just blessed here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, as I said, the songs for the music for this next song is in your song wrap on sheet. And the title of the song is Glory Be to God. And indeed, you know, all the glory goes to God for the miracles that we sing about surrounding the birth of Jesus, and the fact that we are presentable to Him. It is only His glory. true God and the Son of the Father. And I just want to make a comment about the psalm following this. It's called Emmanuel. And in case you don't know, Emmanuel means God with us. And that is the most precious truth, I think, that we can know that He is chosen to come and be with us.
Joy, 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 joy Good morning. I'd like to invite the children to come up and join me for the last children's meeting. Good morning. Nice group this morning. He's all ready for tomorrow. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? Now, do you remember the last two times I talked? The first time, what was the first step in a woodworking project? Did you remember? Planning. So yeah. So you have a plan of what you want to make. So then the following week, what did I share about? I think it was last Sunday. You know what you want to make, but what do you? You want to decide what kind of wood you want to use. So you have your plans, and you have your wood chosen. What do you think the next thing you ought to have? Cut wood, and what do you use to cut wood? Saw. That would be a tool. That's right. So I brought a bag of tools from my shop. Now these are just small tools. I have a lot of big stuff. It'd probably take two pickup loads to bring here. But I brought a few along. So I was thinking probably the most important tool would be a tape measure and a sharp pencil. But you know what? You wouldn't get very far with just a pencil and a tape measure, so probably not the most important, but that's where you would start. You'd want to have that. So you have your tape measure and your pencil. So you have a nail here. What would you use to with a nail? A hammer. Okay. Let's see if I can find it. So you'd have a hammer and nail to put the wood together. Could I use that to cut the wood? No, it wouldn't work very well. So you'd have to have a saw to cut the wood. Now, like I said, in my shop, I have a table saw that you can cut bigger pieces with and works better than this. This is to show you. So you have a saw. What if you want to put a hole in the wood? What would you use for that? You couldn't use this. Well, I mean, I guess you could cut a square hole with it, but you want to have a round hole in the wood. Whoop. You'd want to have a drill, and you'd have a drill bit in there to put a hole in the wood. Now, I have a piece of wood here. It has a nice decorative edge on there. You need another special tool for that. So this would be called a router, and it has a bit on there, and you run along there, and that would put a nice edge on that wood. It takes lots of tools, and they each have their own particular job. Towards the end of the project, you want to finish it and make it smooth. So you'd have a sander and make the wood smooth. So all these tools have their own particular job. It's kind of like us. Like us, we each have our own particular talents, things that we might be good at. So when it comes to either at work or here at church, everyone has things that they're good at or things that maybe we're not good at. So like at church, here we have Larry, the preacher, and then we just heard the worship leaders. That's something I can't play guitar or anything, so I wouldn't be good at that. We have Sunday school teachers and the ushers, and you have the trustees that take care of the church. So it's not just one person that does. They're all together, work together as a team. Now, if you remember, I told you I make things for taxidermists. Would you be interested in seeing what a finished project? So I wouldn't be very good at being a taxidermist, but being a woodworker, I can be a team team player with a taxidermist. So that's something I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even know how to do that. But together, it comes out to be a pretty neat project. All right, one more thing. I have a basket full of toys here that I made, and I want to thank Larry Weber and Dwayne Weaver for helping me make these. I think if after the service, if you want to come meet me up here, I'll give you one and I'll show you how to use it. And if there's any parents who have younger children, I have pretty many here. I think I should have enough to go around. So you can come up and get them after the service. So you're dismissed. Thank you. We'll hand them out later.
Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our Lord, of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time has fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir.
Greetings this Christmas Eve morning. I would like to tell you a little bit about my birth and a little bit about my life before I ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God the Father. I was born in the town of Bethlehem during the reign of King Herod. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken. Everyone had to return to their own town to register, because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took my mother with him, who was very much with child by this time. And while they were there, the time came for me to be born. Mary gave birth to me, her first child, a son. She wrapped me snugly in strips of cloth and laid me in a manger, because there was no room for us in the Bethlehem Inn. That night, there were some shepherds in the fields outside the village, and they were watching their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appeared. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Yes, the Savior, the Messiah, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom God's favor rests. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and lo and behold, there I was, lying in the manger. Then the shepherds left, and they told everyone what had happened and all that the angel had said to them. And all who heard the shepherds' stories were astonished. But my mother, Mary, quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them frequently. Now the shepherds went back to their fields and their flocks and glorifying and praising God for what the angel had told them, and because they had seen me, and that everything was just like the angel had told them it would be. 8 days later, I was circumcised. I was named Jesus, the name given to me by the angel even before I was conceived. Some people refer to me as Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, or Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means God with us. One of the things that saddens my heart is that when my children, my born-again children, people like many of you here this morning, have within your hearts a seemingly unbelief. What I mean is that many of you live your lives as if everything depends upon you. What I desire is that you live your life in a way that reflects that you completely trust me. You know, that many of you suffer from anxiety and depression because you try to control every tiny detail of your lives. That's not how I created you to live. I created you. Remember, in the beginning, I, the Word, already existed. I was with God, and I was God. I was in the beginning with God. I created everything there is. Nothing exists that I didn't make. Life itself is in me. And my life gives light to everyone. My light penetrates the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So no matter how dark this world seems to be getting, it will never overcome my light. Listen, my child, you have nothing to fear. I have promised that I will be with you to the very end of the age. And that is what I will do. Please trust me with all that stuff that bothers you. I can and I will handle it completely and effectively. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. It was about that time that some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we've come to worship him." Now Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a special meeting of all the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. "Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born?" was his question. And after he got his answer, that I would be born in Bethlehem, he sent a private message to these wise men saying, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you've found him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him also." So the wise men went their way in search of me, and the star guided them. They entered the stable where Mary, my mother, and Joseph and I were, and they fell on their knees and they worshiped me. Then they opened up their treasure chests and gave me gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when they left, they went home another way because my Father God had warned them to do so. Now, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to flee to Egypt with Mary and me because King Herod was trying to kill me. And later, after Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph in a dream, informing him that it was time to return to the land of Israel because King Herod was now dead. So he immediately returned to Israel. But when Joseph learned that the new ruler was King Herod's son, he became afraid. Then in another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. So we went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled the prophecy which proclaimed he will be called a Nazarene. This is where I grew up And my Father God filled me with wisdom beyond my years and placed his special favor upon me. So let me tell you about an incident in my childhood. Every year my parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When I was 12 years old, we attended the festival as usual. Now, after the celebration was over and everyone started for home, I stayed behind in Jerusalem. My parents didn't miss me at first. They assumed that I was hanging out with some of my friends who were among the other travelers. But when I didn't show up that evening, they began frantically looking for me. When they couldn't find me, they headed back to Jerusalem to search for me. 3 days later, they found me in the temple sitting among the religious teachers discussing deep questions with them. And everyone who heard me was amazed at my understanding and my answers. My parents didn't know what to think. "Son," my mother said, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching everywhere for you." "But mother, why did you need to search? You should have known that I would be in my father's house." But they didn't understand what I meant. Then I returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. My mother stored all these things in her heart. I grew in height and wisdom and was loved by God and by all who knew me. So let's fast forward to 26 AD. One day when the crowds were being baptized, I came from Nazareth to Galilee, to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize me. He said, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" But I said, "It must be done, because we must do everything that is right." So then John baptized me in the Jordan River. As I was coming up out of the water, I saw the heavens split wide open. And I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and it settled on me. And a loud voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you." And at that very moment, I was filled with the Holy Spirit as I left the Jordan River. And immediately the Holy Spirit compelled me to go out into the wilderness among the wild animals to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate nothing all that time and became very, very hungry. And I was tempted by the devil to turn a stone into a loaf of bread. I was tempted by the devil to receive all the kingdoms of the world if I would only bow down and worship him. And I was tempted to jump off the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem as well. But I resisted and overcame all these temptations by using scripture. Then the devil left me, and the angels came and cared for me. All this was in preparation for my earthly ministry. Well, I have so much to tell you this morning, but I know that you're all very busy people. I mean, running here, running there, going to this family get-together, that family get-together, doing all your last-minute shopping, and doing many good things. But I wonder If I created you to function in this way, I'll let you ponder that thought. Let me tell you about my first miracle. My mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. My disciples, who I had called to follow me, were also invited, as was I. The wine got all during the festivities, so my mother spoke to me about the problem, and I said, "How does this problem concern you and me? Because my time has not yet come." But my mother told the servants to do whatever I said. Now, there was these 6 stone water pots standing there that were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes, and they each held about 20 to 30 gallons. I told the servants to fill the jars with water, and they did. I then told them to dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies, and they did. And when he had tasted the water, which was now wine, he called the bridegroom over and said, "Usually a host serves the best first, but you have kept the best for last." He didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servants did. I was about 30 years old when I began my public ministry, and I performed many miracles and taught the multitudes as they flocked after me. But today we have come to celebrate my birth. I came as a wrinkled little baby boy so many years ago. But my real purpose in coming was to bring you the gift of the salvation of your souls from the pit of hell. In a few short months, you will gather together here to remember what happened on that Friday afternoon so many years ago. Please remember what happened on the cross. I, Jesus, died so that you could gain the precious gift of eternal life. You see, I was betrayed. I was beaten. I was mocked. And I was crucified on the cross. You see, what the people didn't know that did all those things to me was that at any moment I could have called 10,000 angels to come to destroy the world and to set me free. But I chose to die alone for you. As I hung there on the cross, and I looked into the eyes of those persons who had just did all those things to me, with all the love I could muster up, I said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And then as I hung there on the cross, I cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As my Father God turned his face away from me. A little later, I said, "It is finished." And I bowed my head and I died. I died for you. I died because I love you. My dead body was taken down from the cross, and it was placed in a borrowed tomb. That was a very, very dark day. I was in that borrowed tomb for 3 days. But 3 days later, early on Sunday morning, I rose triumphantly from the dead, conquering sin and death. That's the very reason why I came, so that you can have abundant life today and eternal life when your life here on this earth is finished. I came to make all things new. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from darkness for the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bring a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I have provided everything that you need to live victoriously in this dark world. Please reach out and receive it. Now, I know that you all know this, but let me remind you again this morning. I am coming back to this earth again. You see, the first time I came as a little wrinkled baby boy. But when I return, I'm coming as a conquering king. I'm going to be riding on a white horse. My eyes will be blazing like fire. And on my head will be many, many crowns. I will be dressed in a robe that's dipped in blood. And on my robe and on my thigh will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The armies of heaven will be following me on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. There'll be a sword coming out of my mouth to strike down the nations, and I will rule the nations with an iron scepter, and I will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. That day is drawing very close. But let me also remind you that right before I ascended into heaven, 40 days after my resurrection, I gave my followers a task. I said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You have been given a gift. You have been given a responsibility to go share the good news. Please go and tell your neighbors. And do not be afraid, because I will be with you to the very end of the age. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. My peace I leave with you this Christmas season.
I invite you to join us with a song of response to what Larry just shared.
Stand to receive the parting blessing and the benediction. As you go, may you rejoice greatly in the newness of our God. May your whole being spring forth with joy. And may you not be silent, but freely share the good news that Jesus has come. He has come to make all things new. May you be filled with abundant life and the peace of Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas and go in peace.